Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons, interviews, and Pastor Pod on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. Our worship times are on Sundays at 9 and 10:45 a.m. Our summer worship time will be at 10 a.m. starting on May 26th. Welcome to Pastor Pod, our first in a series of podcasts when Pastor Russ and I get together to give our best answers to your questions about the Bible, theology, and life. Please enjoy. All right, welcome to another episode of Pastor Pod with Russ and Jordan. We got some questions we want to kind of try and answer for you here. And Russ is going to read the first one that I'm going to try to answer in some way.
Well, here's one. God's will, true or false? I think behind it is, do you believe that there is such a thing as God's will? Is God actually influencing or wanting, or to what degree is there God's will, and how is that operative, and how are we understanding it in our own lives? That should be simple.
Yeah, I think at a certain point in my life, I'd probably say no. At a certain point in my life, I'd say yes. At this point, I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think it's in the traditional sense that God has everything mapped out precisely for us, that really we have no free will to decide anything. But at the same time, I think God is helping guide us, walking alongside of us on our journey, because there's certainly things that I can choose to do or not do that makes my own path different, that brings it down a different path. But when you look back, I think oftentimes when people talk about God's will, they're looking back on something, because it's easier to look back and say, you know, there's a thread there, and it feels like there's a divine intervention that these things happen, which is understandable. And I think looking back on my own path too, of how I arrived at New Hope, I can't help but feel like there was God's will involved in that somehow. So I think ultimately in my mind, true, but it's not a foolproof thing of, you know, where...
It seems pretty wishy-washy.
That didn't seem very confident. Is this true? True?
Do your seminary professors know this?
I think, you know, what I'd prefer to... I'd prefer to talk about God's sovereignty, I guess. Instead of will, which is kind of the same thing. It's more of... I see God's hand in my life and the things that I've done, where I've been brought towards, but I could have also easily rejected all of that and gone down a different path. But then I think looking back on that path, if whatever that different path would be, I'd still would maybe see God's divine guidance through that too, because all of our journeys and our experiences make us who we are. And so I think in order to fully accept who we are now, we have to look in the past and accept how we've gotten here, and that all things work towards good in some way. So that's kind of my wishy-washy answer of God's will. It's not as easy as saying, you know, this... It's not like going outside today and it's snowing and you're like, oh, that's God's will. You know, he wanted it to snow today for some reason. And something's going to... It's not as easy as that, but I think as long as you're being present to God's call on your heart or God's gifts that God has given you to serve others and to serve the world, then I think you end up on a path that God would be happy with.
Yeah, I think that's where I come down on it too. Sometimes we talk about God's will, it's like God's plan, And so to know God's will is to kind of know, you know, today, and God's will for you is to go to the grocery store, buy Apple stock, talk to your neighbor, as if there was a particular plan. I get where that comes from, because it the idea is that we are embraced by something larger than ourselves. The tyranny of that is that people constantly are in fear that somehow they have done something that is going to ruin God's plan for their lives. Because, good Lord, every day we do things that either we know we're not supposed to, or we don't do the things we are supposed to. And so we put ourselves in this real tough place. We've wrapped ourselves around some strange notions. For me, what makes more sense is, does God have a will for my life? What is God's will? And it seems to me that the overarching will of any day that I wake up, regardless of whether I talk to my neighbor and buy Apple stock or go to the grocery store, is, have I loved? Because the will of God is to love. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that is God's will. And everything else is details. So whether I go across the street, whether I make a phone call, it is how I do what I do. Yeah. And that becomes the will for my life. It may take me down different paths, but I am part of the will of God, which is to give myself away in love, even as I have been loved. And so at that point, I let the details take care of themselves, and not worry about whether I have failed to do something or missed a pathway. There's hundreds of those on any given week. But as long as I'm being true to the one thing I do know, which over it all is to love, then I rest in that.
Is Apple paying you to keep talking about Apple stock?
I should buy some. It might have been God's will that I bought Apple 15 years ago and I missed. And so you can tell I'm still grieving over that one.
If you buy Apple stock, use promo code PastorPod and Russ will get royalties from it. Yeah, I think to better put together some of my thoughts, and you said it well too, is I think God's will, God's plan, I think God makes us the people who we are. And as we discover who we are in the image of God, that we have that choice to kind of use those gifts to bless others. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately is God's will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of worrying about the details of, like, is it God's will that I should take this job or I should move here or do that? It's like, well, you can do all those things as long as you keep living as the person that God created you to be and using your gifts to bless others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, the will of God.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Are these, there's some scattered here. Do I need to pick? We went through these. All right.
We got
here's
this,
one.
This stack around here.
I continue to struggle with why bad things happen to good people. The last couple of weeks have been particularly difficult. I'd say last month?
Hmm.
Last year?
Yeah. Well, and not alone. I mean, the Bible struggles with why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people, and it's a source of perplexion. People are perplexed by it and wondering and trying to figure out what's going on. I think somehow maybe this ties back into the question about the will of God, is that if I'm being good or if I'm doing the right things, then bad things won't happen to me. Our God will make sure that I'm okay. And I think making us okay is one thing, but to think that somehow that's going to be a protection against anything, that just goes against it goes against common sense and the way we experience this world. Romans 8 says, I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. It doesn't say that nothing can bad will happen to me if I love God or if I believe the right things. That's just magic. And somehow trying to barter with God that if I believe the right things, do the right things, if I am good enough, then your part of the bargain is to make sure I'm okay. But the bell curve of suffering doesn't seem to take any different shape for people of faith or not of faith. People of faith and people who are good get cancer at about the same rate. They have divorces at about the same rate. They die of heart attacks at about the same rate. They get in accidents at about the same rate as everybody else. So it is not a protection, and it's not certainly not magic. So bad things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen as well. And we rarely ask ourselves, why do so many good things happen to me when I haven't been particularly good and or faithful? We tend to be more perplexed by when the bad things happen. And that's normal. But I would say that, yeah, I don't get it either, except I don't think it's any more or less for anybody. And it's more in the midst of it, the part of where faith makes a difference is to know that even when bad things, even when terrible things happen, we are still loved and we are still connected, and nothing can separate us and nothing can get in the way of God's loving will for our lives. And part of what God is in the redemptive work of God through this world in Christ. So maybe the wrong question is, why do bad things happen to good people, or why do good things happen to bad people? It's, given what has happened today, how will I respond, and where will I find the presence of God in the midst of it?
You know, I think we want to get caught up on that piece of it a lot, of why do bad things happen to good people, rather than seeing the opportunity it provides too. I think Rob Bell had a book called Drops Like Stars. It was exploring the connection between suffering and creativity, and how suffering and bad things happening to people is an invitation to connect deeper with those around us, to when you hear people talk about their best friends, oftentimes they'll say, we've been through a lot together. And that adds more weight and meaning to that relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that God creates bad things to happen to do that, but
well, that's good.
that when those things happen, we have an opportunity, because we as humans, when it's good and things are good, we tend to not connect as deeply as in the times when those are suffering around us.
Yeah. So at that point, good and bad are subjective to the moment in context, and sometimes stepping back. Is that what you're saying? Is that, well, what I thought was not good actually turned out to be good, or because of how I responded or somebody else responded, that which could have been terrible actually became redemptive in some way?
The second
one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That it can, it's an opportunity to, have some redemption within it. Something good came out of it in some way. Not saying what happened was good. But I think sometimes bad things or suffering happens to wake us up a little bit.
Yeah. You think of the movie The City Slickers, that scene where describe your best day and your worst day. And the one guy was talking about the worst day of his life having to do with his father. And somebody asked, so what was your best day? And he said, same one, because that became such a pivotal point and a turning point in his life that the worst day was also seen as his best day because of the way he responded to it and what changed out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all have stories where when we tell our story, there is a certain point where, like, and then this happened. And usually it's not a great, wonderful thing. It's I hit rock bottom. I didn't know what to do. It felt like everything was over for me.
Right.
And then that is the turning point.
Yeah.
In a lot of stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, and I agree that I still wonder too why bad things happen to good people. I've known a lot of good people in my life that have had a lot of tragedy and suffering, and it doesn't seem fair.
No. Yeah, much of life isn't.
Yeah.
Much of life isn't, good or bad.
Well, on that cheery note.
Yeah. Our next episode, we'll be reading from Lemony Snicket, A Series of Unfortunate Events.
If you have any questions, you know, send them to jordan@newhopepres.org. You can also contact us on Facebook through Messenger, ask questions that way, and we'll try and get to those questions for you. In the meantime, we'll see you next time. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can also check out more about New Hope at newhopepres.org. If you have a question for the Pastor Pod, please email them to jordan@newhopepres.org, jordan@newhopepres.org, or send us a message on Facebook. And we will see you next time.